If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Sherman. I'm your host. I have with me today as a special guest, Hans Kohlberg. Hans is an author specializing in children's books and parenting books. Also a serial entrepreneur, Hans is a loving father of four wonderful children and prides himself on being a father first and foremost, cherishing every moment of his fatherhood journey. Making up silly, fantastical tales of dragons, race cars, flying unicorns, and laughing llamas at bedtime every night is just part of his parenthood duties. Due to the unexpected tragedy of losing his daughter, Aviva, at 10 months old, Hans is motivated to share his fearless character, fun-loving spirit, and vivacious personality embodied through an orangutan in Baby Aviva Orangutan Diva. Even though she is no longer here to meet friends, Aviva can still change lives and create positive impact through the messages of this book, including overcoming adversity by using your inner strengths, never judging a book by its cover, and staying true to yourself. That is her dad's ultimate hope and motivation for writing, to bring smiles to children all over the world while sharing his daughter's beautiful story and turning sorrow into a wonderful legacy. Knowing intimately how precious life is, his mission is to help other parents embrace the wonderful experience of parenthood to the fullest, always cherishing our children by leading with love. In addition, through sharing his story about the most difficult tragedy a parent can imagine, he hopes to bring attention to the often overlooked grieving journey and how supporters of bereaved parents can provide comfort simply by showing up. Grief is a process that society in general does not necessarily embrace well, and through an upcoming book on the grief journey, Hans hopes other bereaved parents will be adequately supported during the time they need it most. Please help me welcome Hans Kohlberg. Hans, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Ari. I'm doing okay.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. Listen, thanks so much for coming on the show as my guest. I really appreciate it. You know, as you know, the name of the podcast is Whispers and Bricks, and the whispers are those voices telling us what the right thing to do is, and they represent the good in life. And the bricks, unfortunately, represent the bad things that we go through in life. And let's be real, nobody avoids every single brick. It just doesn't happen. Life is not perfect for anybody. And what I have found out is the more perfect a life seems by somebody, the worse it really is. Now, I asked you to be on the show because after talking about your story, I knew that there were people in my audience who were going through the same things that you had gone through. They had been hit with brick after brick, much like what you had gone through, and they needed to hear and to know that they could get through the trials and tribulations the same way that you did. They needed to know that there were whispers out there that could save them. So my first question is very simple. How did you come up with the name for your daughter of Aviva? That is an Israeli name, and I understand that neither you nor your wife are Jewish.
Yes, thank you so much, Ari. And first of all, I really appreciate coming on the show and really telling my story. So Aviva, my daughter, it's first of all a wonderful name. You are correct. We're neither of us are Jewish. However, we fell in love with this name after reading a book by James Michener, one of my favorite books in the world. It is called The Source, and as I understand, you really love the book as well. And there's a character in that, based in this fictional country. At that is a fiction book, but it's a historical fiction. Based in Israel, and her name is Aviva, spelled A-V-I-V-A. And for me, you know, the name means springtime or kind of almost renewal of life. For myself, I've been through a lot of trials and tribulations as well. And so this was kind of a name that really resonated with, you know, kind of the blessings in life, the whispers, as we as you say. And if you actually write her name out in capital letters, A-V-I-V-A, it actually looks like mountains and valleys, peaks and troughs. And that really encapsulates what life is about. And obviously, you know, when we named her, we did not, you know, foresee the future for her. But it really is, you know, how we as humans actually respond to challenges, respond to tragedy, respond to those tough times in life, where we're down in the trenches, in the troughs, and really trying to figure out how we can extol those good times in life as well, and really holding both at the same time. I think you're exactly right. There is no perfect life, and the more that we strive to, you know, be perfect, or you know, this idea of perfection, I think the farther away we actually get from it. And so embracing both the good and the bad at the same time, the pain, the grief, and the happy moments at the same time, has been one of those aspects of grieving, of this bereaved journey that I'm on, that I've really had to learn. And it's a skill that you kind of, you know, have to learn as a bereaved parent. So that is really, you know, where we get her name. And it is a palindrome. It's spelled the same forwards and backwards. And I just love it.
Right. So for all those in my audience who don't know, the source is, it is a book that I read as well. It is, I think, 1300 pages. Okay. It is a great read. All right. But it is long, I will tell you, but definitely worth the read if you can get it. Now, Hans, in your life, you've had obviously a major brick thrown at you, as we've just learned from your bio. Question, how many kids did you have at the time? How old were they? How old were you and your wife? And can you just take us back to, you know, and tell us how you managed to get through it all?
Yeah. So first of all, I would say, you know, being a father is my most important job. I know a lot of fathers say that, but I've really tried to embrace that and try to make, you know, being there for my kids, you know, being patient with them, leading with love, and being very involved as a parent, really my first and foremost job, you know, even throughout having different companies and working, et cetera. But Aviva was born in January 2020. She lived for 10 months and 13 days until November of 2020. She was our third child. So at that time, of that she died just over a year ago, my oldest son was almost four. My middle daughter was 2.5, and my fourth child actually hadn't been born yet. So little Liliana is our fourth child, and she actually came into our lives just about 5 weeks ago. So,
congratulations!
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm a new parent again, fourth time around. But Liliana, you know, although she never got to know her sister, she actually carries a part of her sister with her, because Aviva's middle name was Lilia, and Liliana kind of comes from that. And so she, we wanted to honor her sister that way, but we definitely want to tell her all the stories about her older sister.
Wow. So you had, you had three kids at the time, 4, 2.5, and 10 months. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That is correct.
How old were you and your wife, if I may ask?
We're both in our mid-30s.
Mid-30s. Okay. And like, what was the effect that it had on your wife, for one, and on your other children and you as well? I mean, it had to be very, very difficult. I know parents that have lost children from infants to, you know, adolescents to teenagers, to young adults, to older adults. All right. It's never easy. It's not, as they say in Hebrew, derech hachayim, the way of the world. The way of the world is a child buries a parent, not the other way around. A parent does not bury a child. That is not the way life works. Unfortunately, it happens, but that's not the way life is supposed to work. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what was going through your mind, your heart, and, you know, how your other kids were probably too young to understand what was going on. Although your 4-year-old may have understood some of it, But and what was again? What was the effect that it had on your wife as well?
Yeah. So lots of things to unpack there. But in terms of, you know, the grieving journey and in terms of the event itself, it's certainly been the very most difficult one that we've ever had to travel through and journey through. You know, the worst tragedy that could befall almost any parent. I myself have had a very near death experience in my 20s. However, you know, this compared to that, there's absolutely no comparison. And when we talk about grief, you know, you shouldn't necessarily ever compare grief, because the hardest grief that you know is your own, and that's the case with everyone. So, in terms of the journey, it's just been something that I've really learned to embrace, and my wife has as well. You know, before this, we really didn't know much about grief. We really probably couldn't even spell grief. It is that distant from us. We've been very blessed in our lives, you know, definitely a lot of positives, you know, to be thankful for. However, you know, when an unforeseen tragedy, unexpected tragedy actually strikes, which happens to a large percentage of us, you're never expecting that. And really kind of having to live through that is really having to learn what it actually is to live again. What we both kind of told ourselves is we, first of all, you want to survive, you want to get through it. The very first days and weeks, it just feels like you just can't get out of bed. You can't, you know, even go to the grocery store. For us, we had to even take care of our children, which on one hand was a blessing that we could have them. I remember coming home from the hospital, giving both of them a very big hug and being thankful that we had them. Because I know a lot of parents that are in our situation don't. And also wanted to say, one of the things you said about, you know, parents losing children, wanted to also include, miscarriages in there, because a large number of us go through a lot of, trauma with that. But in terms of, you know, having these other kids, having to take care of them while grieving at the same time, you really have to take care of yourself. There's a lot of self-care involved. One of the things I did was really taking off about 5 months of work. I just knew that I really couldn't go back to, you know, the day-to-day, the everyday thing that I did. And fortunately, as with COVID, one of the positive aspects of it, with Aviva being born in January 2020, I got to actually work with her from home almost every day of her life. And that was certainly a very big positive. And so having to go back to work in a situation where I was typically, you know, taking care of her or kind of, you know, she was in my lap, I was on Zoom calls, et cetera. That was difficult in and of itself. And so I knew I needed to create that space and really embrace the grieving journey. And so some of the things through that, I'm a kind of guy that likes to go head first into everything and try to do everything 110%. So, you know, started reading a lot of books about grief, started reading a lot of books about memoirs of child loss. One of the really good books was Rabbi Harold Kushner, who wrote When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Excellent book, you know, talking about, you know, the spiritual side and reasons why these happen, which there really isn't a reason, not to give away the book. We, you know, all the little micro events in our lives can't really be controlled by any kind of greater being. But in terms of other books, you know, David Kessler, he's a grief psychologist. He himself, he wrote part of the five stages of grief with Elizabeth Kubler Ross. And after losing his own son, he ended up writing a book called Finding Meaning, the sixth stage of grief, which is really about, you know, after the acceptance stage, which is the fifth stage, really, you know, that he thought there was something else and finding meaning, try to find a higher purpose and find meaning in that loss that you do have, has been something that I felt from the very beginning, almost, you know, very first few weeks, which is actually when I wrote the book, Baby Aviva, Orangutan Diva. One of the reasons for that, as you said, is really trying to carry her legacy, prolong her legacy. And and also spread her joy, her warmth, her charisma, you know, into the world, into, you know, the hands of parents and kids that never got to meet her. So, but other than reading books, you know, speaking with a lot of other people, speaking with people that have gone through it, I think being able to relate to others that have somewhat been in your shoes have been some of the best people to really talk to, because they can actually understand you, and you can also be fully vulnerable with them. You know, get be able to tell them anything that's on your mind, that the anger, the shock, the sadness, the trauma, et cetera, just to be able to kind of cry with them. Humans as social beings, we really need each other. And there's no more important time than when we're in the depths in that grief. Also saw a therapist for the first time in my life. I've never seen a therapist, and was able to kind of learn a lot about self-compassion, a lot about self-care from her, and the importance of that, knowing that there's a lot of wounds, a lot of you know, self-blame, that's almost all the time with child loss. Like, there's a lot of self-blame that we kind of put on ourselves. I should have done this, I could have done this, I would have done this. There's you know, unanswerable questions that kind of percolate through our heads, are things that just prolong the suffering, which we, one of the big differences between pain and suffering is that pain is something that you really feel, is really a part of you, that sadness. Suffering is kind of the everyday, daily, you know, pain that we kind of almost bring upon ourselves a lot of times by making those decisions to ask those questions, to repeat events in our head. And there's a lot of things that we can do to actually ease that suffering. And so self-compassion and self-care throughout grieving has been very important to me, but also, you know, caring for my wife and being there for my wife. One of the things about child loss I've learned, I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot, but one of the things I've learned is really a lot of times, you know, it ends in divorce with spouses. And what I've learned is that a lot of times it's not necessarily because of the event, that tragedy of the child's death itself, but actually the different ways that those parents actually grieve that child. You know, a lot of times one wants to move past it and not talk about it. Other one is really, you know, stuck in the mud of the grief. And it's really important to be, you know, very supportive. And we've learned that from books. I mean, just from talking to a lot of other people, but we didn't necessarily want that to happen either. So I'm glad to say that our marriage right now is stronger than it's ever been. And it's really, it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of work to really make sure that, you know, we're there for each other. So sorry, I unpacked a lot about that.
That's really, really great. It really is. You know, there's a lot of good things that you talked about. And, you know, the good thing about the way I do a podcast is you can go and listen to it, because you know, it's a videotape beforehand. So you can go, you listen to it over and over again to make sure that you've got everything that's in there. So please, you know, I'm very happy that you elaborated as much as you did, but I'm going to take a step to the side. I'll call it to the side, not a step back, but a step to the side. And because you just mentioned something that I did not know, something about you yourself having almost died. What was that all about?
Yeah. So that, was experienced in my 20s when I was in college. And, as many of us in college go through, had been drinking too much. You know, I would admit that, ended up falling down, a flight of stairs. You know, it kind of became unconscious. You know, definitely not the finest point in my life. But was taken to the hospital, taken to the ER, and there, you know, they kind of diagnosed me with alcohol poisoning, released me the very next day. However, I was the very next day I was going through a lot of vomiting, going in and out of consciousness, not necessarily, you know, with it. It wasn't your normal hangover. And that was a Sunday, and then ended up going to classes on a Monday, of college classes, and was able to kind of pay attention, but then fall asleep. And I was writing, but wasn't necessarily like making things out on a piece of paper. And something was definitely continuing to kind of hamper my cognitive abilities, essentially. That day, went home, took a nap, came back, and my roommate had been out of town, and he, for the weekend, and he got back. He said, you know, Hans, you're acting very, very strange. You should go to the hospital. You go to the doctors. I'm like, nah, it's just this hangover. I can't really get over it. He ends up going, he was on the soccer team. He goes to soccer practice, comes back a couple hours later, and he sees me completely, you know, slumped in my chair and staring off actually in space. So I had my eyes wide open. And so he immediately put me on his back, put me in the fireman's hold, and took me to the ER, which happened to be three blocks down the street, carried me down the street.
Wow.
And they ran a CT scan on my head, and they realized that I had it's called a epidural hematoma, which is basically a blood clot that was on the outside of my brain sac, that was threatening to rupture my brain. So if basically a blood gets in the brain, if that ruptures, it's immediate death.
Yeah, it's game over. Yeah, for sure.
And the head neurosurgeon was on call that night, fortunately. And he, you know, immediate surgery. A few days later, when he was talking to me, he said, Hans, you know, you're incredibly, incredibly lucky to be alive. You had maybe 15 minutes and that epidural hematoma would have ruptured, and that would have been it. It was about the size of a hamburger, he said.
Oh, my God.
Kind of on the side of my head. And so he's like, you're extremely lucky. Most people that have these do not come back. I think about 90% don't make it. And he said, you definitely owe a lot to your friend, my friend Garrett, and I'll never forget it. We'll always be in debt to him.
Right. Let me ask you this. Was that hematoma, was that the byproduct of the drinking binge, or was it
it was from hitting my head on the staircase. So it was a metal staircase. A lot of other times when people have epidural hematomas is due to sometimes a baseball hitting someone's head,
right.
Or a pretty serious accident, maybe skiing and you hit a tree with your head. Ugh. Stuff like that it happens on inside. There's internal swelling that occurs, but it's a silent killer. It kind of just metastasizes and grows over time.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. I did not know that. That is absolutely amazing. So let's get back to some really good stuff right now. So what are you doing right now?
In short, I'm really trying to honor my daughter's legacy, and I'm really trying to, find ways, both creative and non-creative, I guess, ways to actually honor her life, to spread her message and spread her joy. And one of those ways is actually through, children's books. And so when I was, thinking about, this is about a week after she died, we had her celebration of life. We had her funeral. And when you go to these events, you tend to hear these eulogies, oftentimes by family members and or friends. And a lot of times, they're talking about how this person changed their life, or how, this person, had this funny story about him or her, and ways that this person has created an impact. And oftentimes that's usually a message that's embedded in those eulogies. And when we're sitting there doing Aviva's eulogy at her celebration of life, you know, it's just struck me that the majority of people that were there, and this is during the height of COVID, mind you, so not many people came, but even still, those watching on Zoom, they didn't get to know who she was. They didn't really get to know who Aviva is. And as a father, as her father, I was very fortunate that I did, and she affected me in a very profound way. She just had, I can kind of brag about her because she just had this really, you know, amazing, just aura about her, this kind of just loving aura, that was very different from our other kids. And so what I wanted to do was kind of pass that on and almost become a vessel or channel for her to kind of, you know, work through me and really get her message out into the world. And so a lot of the underlying themes of the book, Baby Aviva, Orangutan Diva, are about staying true to yourself, overcoming different challenges by finding inner strengths that you have. And so that was really talking about a lot of the ways that she went through 6 different hospitalizations in her life. And every single one of those, she really, you know, kind of embraced it with a lot of fortitude, a lot of graciousness almost. She was just very happy even during a lot of those very, very tough times when she had wires and tubes sticking out of her. And so, you know, it's about, you know, having your inner strengths, and this little baby orangutan actually has this inner strength of being able to sing and dance because she's a diva. And she comes across, her family's in peril. They don't have any food. She has to go through this journey to search for these bananas, but then comes across this ferocious tiger who's this king of the jungle, and he's guarding the bananas. And she's sitting there in the tree wondering what she can do. She's thinking and thinking, but then all of a sudden it strikes her she should just do what she does best. And she starts singing and dancing, and lo and behold, this ferocious beast, this tiger, starts dancing, and then eventually they're both dancing together by the end of it, and then sharing bananas, and he gives her a bunch of bananas to bring back to her community. And so so those are some underlying themes as well, you know, doing something good for others as she kind of, you know, brings the bananas back to her community, but also not judging a book by its cover. So she wasn't afraid to you know, go challenge this tiger, and even though, you know, he was very scary. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things to unpack there, but it's really a way that I want to share her light and her love with all the children that do get to read it, and parents and teachers and everyone else. So
wow, that's great. All right, before we go, let me ask you this: is there any words of wisdom, any advice for my audience, for, you know, just words of wisdom in general, whether they're going through something or not, something that you've learned that you can share with us?
Yeah, one of the things I've realized is that society, just in general, doesn't embrace grief that well. If you look at even bereavement leave, it was just like 5 days that, you know, most corporations kind of give you. But even when I'm talking about this grieving journey, it's a very lonely journey. And it's a very unique journey in that you're traveling it yourself. And there's an analogy that someone told me the other day was really that journey through grief is kind of like sitting in this deep, dark well. So like a well of water, and you have a lot of people kind of coming by. Some people say, you know, oh man, that sucks. You're sitting in the well. If there's anything I can do, just let me know. It's a very common thing you hear. But then there's other people that come by and look to see that you're down in the well. They're like, you know, hold on 1 second. I know it's really tough. I'm going to go back and I'm going to get a rope. I'm going to get a ladder, and I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to sit with you in that deep, dark well of despair that you're in. And I think that really fully encapsulates, you know, empathy, you know, just being empathetic and really understanding how to actually, you know, really help that bereaved person. And then that person says, you know, if and when you're ready, we can both try to journey out of this well. And I think that's, you know, one overarching message I'd like to share to your listeners is really, you know, if you know someone that is going through a grieving journey. It's very difficult to know what to say or do, as people are very different. But one universal thing by talking to a lot of people is really, and experiencing myself, is really just showing up. Just show up for that person, whether that's sending them a text message, you know, once a month or once, you know, every couple months, saying, how are you doing? Or I'm thinking about, you know, your loved one, or, you know, I'm coming over to give you a hug, or whatever else it is, or would you like to have a conversation? Many times they won't respond. Many times maybe it doesn't affect them, but in terms of just, knowing that you're thinking of them is really important, as a bereaved person, because it's hard for us to kind of reach out for help. If someone says, you know, let me know what I can do, you know, that we're not necessarily going to say anything. But I think we as a society can really do a lot better job of really supporting those going through grief, and really recognizing that it is almost this invisible wound that we're living through. And so, you know, this really, really, you know, tough handicap that we all have to kind of carry on our shoulders. So that is really the message I'll share to all of your listeners is, you know, we've been through COVID pandemic. I know that most listeners know someone that's going through a lot of pain, and just, you know, let them know that you're there, because, you know, it could just be, you know, listen to them or give them a hug. You never know how big that is and important that is to that grief person. And then finally, for all parents out there, I know this is a very tough topic to talk about child loss, but in terms of my message to you, just embrace every single moment that you have with your child, and really cherish you know, those precious days and time that you have with your loved ones, because you certainly never know when it'll be your last time.
So. Right. I hear. Certainly, definitely words of wisdom. Again, I myself basically adhere to that position of, you know, saying, you know, before you leave the house in the morning, you know, tell your kids that you love them, because it might be the last time that you actually see them, which is something that I personally did not, it didn't happen to me because I got out of 9/11, but 658 of my friends and coworkers, they did leave in the morning and they never came back. And, you know, so I tell people the same thing, you know, let your spouse, your wife, your kids, let them know that you love them every single day, because it might be the last time, God forbid, that you have that opportunity. If people want to get a hold of you, Hans, what's the best way of doing that? Email, website, what's the best way to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's avivasdaddy@gmail.com. That is my email. So AVIVASDADDY. That's also my Twitter handle. So at @AviviusDaddy, as well as Instagram. And my website is www.hanskuhlberg.com. And that is, you know, the best way you can get in touch with me. But yeah, as I would say, you know, all of your listeners, you know, probably came on the show to listen to the show, trying to get something out of it. And I think the most important things that we can actually do are almost the simplest things that we can do. You know, tell your loved ones that you love them,
right,
and be there for someone that's going through a tough time.
Right. Hans, thanks so much for sharing your story with my audience. I'm sure you've touched the hearts of many of the people in my audience. Good luck going forward. Keep up the good work. It's so important, the work that you're doing, and it's certainly going to benefit mankind in general. That's my belief. Thanks again. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Sherman. Remember, if you feel like you're stuck in the mud, like you're spinning your wheels, wasting time in your career, your business, or your life, if you know you're not enjoying all the success, satisfaction, significance that you desire, then it's time for you to book a call with me at callwithari.com. Check out my Whispers and Bricks Coaching Academy. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.